only thing which is not yet completely in our relationship is not done yet. He needs to come to Romania. So after you finish the building project and the addition, you have to send him to Romania. And you say, Pastor, you better go. And that will be good for our relationship. Before I preach, usually I go for 2 hours. But I know some of you guys, you can't wait 2 o'clock for the final game. I know that. I know of the World Soccer Championship. I know some of them. So I won't go to 2 o'clock because I like to watch the game too. But we have our son with us, Abiel, and he's a joy for us, and I would like to invite him to sing a song and just lead us in another song, and then Steve will read for us the scriptures, and then we will preach.
Morning, you have the opportunity, unique opportunity, to sing along to your European guy and worship God together in this way. I'm sure this contemporary hymn at this point that says we have 10,000 reasons to praise our God is already familiar to you. So, yeah, let's sing along. Worship His holy name. like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Yes, I'll worship your holy name.
Would you stand while we read from God's word, Psalm 124? If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You may be seated.
Thank you, Steve, for readings of the scriptures. Now, before we start the sermon, I would like to take a vote. Americans like to vote, and you show to the world how to manipulate votes. I know how to take a vote. So the vote is about the language of the sermon. Do you want me to speak in perfect Romanian, or do you want me to try my best but still broken English? So, okay. Except you have the gift of understanding tongues, it's better to try my English, yeah? being in this trip again, it's a time when memories are brought to life. Just by being here, naturally, we remember when we came first time. And that was many years ago, although I don't like to recognize that, but the years are just passing. Yes, it was many years ago. And it was a miracle that we could come because we need a visa. And, you know, Americans are not all the time so nice when it's about offering an entry visa to Romanians. So it was a miracle that we had that visa. So when we remember that, it's just our hearts are filled with joy. So it's a time of good memories. Then we remember other things. We remember projects in which we were involved. We remember how everything started with Steve coming to Romania, how we met for a few minutes, and then a strong friendship started, and how we started a small project like a shower for the community, for a poor community, how we dreamed of a kindergarten for poor people in the village, like for gypsies, to offer them a chance to get education in a Christian environment, and how that dream came along. And for years and years, we saw kids in that kindergarten not only educated for life, but also learning the word of God and skills for life later. Then, if believe me or not, we were thinking, to build two toilets for a church with no toilets. And for that village, it was a good and huge improvement. Then for another church, we said, I was pastoring that church and said, we need a fellowship hall. There is no room for us when we want to stay together for a meal. And something which was far, far beyond our resources came true in a few years, but it came true. So it's a time of good memories. And of course, Steve remembers when we are here how well we treat him when he comes to Romania, how good food we offer him, and all those things. We remember safe travelings. I mean, miles and miles. Driving in Romania, it's quite an adventure. When Steve comes, he has to drive many miles back and forth. Ask Sheila about that when you meet her. So we naturally, being here, we are filled with good memories. And always at the end of these memories, I'm saying, God was good to us. God has helped us. He was our help. It's like the verse 9, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. But then, you know, just when I say God is our help and he was our help, sometimes I'm challenged to ask myself, where would we be without God's help? Now, it's interesting sometimes to think, what if the Lord hadn't helped us? Just allow yourself to think what verse number 1 is suggesting. If the Lord had not been on our side, can you picture your life without God's help? Now I know that in your culture and in America, people have so many resources. You are trained better for life than most of the countries do with their people. And in many, many ways, you people, you do a lot of good things in your life and with your resources. But still, we can make a mess with our life right here in the best country in the world if the Lord is not our help. And I think you can do what the psalm is inviting us to do. The psalm, it's an invitation in the beginning, in the first part. It's an invitation to meditate. It's an invitation to think, to ruminate on how our life will look like without God's help. Can you think to those moments when life was really, really tough and your life could go wrong, but God was there? Maybe it was when you applied for a job. You weren't the best candidate, but God was there and you got the job. Maybe it was when you started your business. I read yesterday the book written by Steve's mother. She wrote her story. And I got to the chapter when she writes about how she and her husband started the business, the farm. And she said that somebody sold to them all the farm equipment for $3,000. And she says, talking about God's help. Can you think of those moments when your life hanged in a balance, everything could go wrong, but God was your help? Maybe it was when you met for the first time your mother-in-law. It was about that second where she can say no, or when she can say, yeah, here is my son, and God was your help. And we all know it can be about finances or about health issues, about relationships. Sometimes we took bad decisions. Still, God was our help. So, in the first part of the psalm, the writer, which is of course David, invites the people to actually recite, to say it together, to think to those moments where things could go wrong. For example, verse 2, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us. And of course, the image is that of a war, when stronger armies, Canaanites and Philistines and all those type of nations attacked Israel, a tiny nation. And they attacked with anger. You all know that it's different to kick a ball just playing by fun, to have fun. And it's another thing to kick a ball with anger. It's one thing to fight as a kid with someone just, you know, to hang around. And it's another thing when somebody who fights has anger attached to his fist. So David describes a moment, and there are many moments, where nations attacked Israel, attacked the people of God. And when the scripture says, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. That image is an image of a Canaanite god described and pictured in those times with an open, huge, big mouth ready to swallow any other gods or any other people which didn't recognize him. So, like a huge, you know, orca, or like a whale swallowing tiny fishes, that was Israel when nations attacked the people of God. Now, you may not be under attack. You have a great army and you have great military. We see that now in Iran. And maybe the image really doesn't touch our feelings because we don't have armies attacking US right now. But you may know the feeling of being attacked. People sometimes attack your good name and good reputation, and they spread lies about you. And now you know what it means to be under attack. Sometimes people attack your goods, your values. I was talking to Steve, and he said to me on the way to church that somewhere somebody stolen 20 cows from a farmer. That's an attack on your propriety, on your things. And sometimes people just attack our security, our resources. So we do know what it means to be under attack. and things could go wrong. But God was there and our help. Or like in the verse 4, now the imagery changes. Now it's a different story. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. Now, we all know hurricanes. When they come, things which we thought will last forever are torn down like nothing. Do you see when a flood comes, big winds and the power of the rivers coming out, and you see a barn, you see a bridge, you see homes. They float like a tiny boat because that's the power of the hurricanes. So something like that is here. It's huge, it's power, it's massive power would have swept over us. It's like an elephant throwing on some small ants. No chance to survive. Stepping over some ants. No chance to survive. So that was the story behind this psalm, with many, many situations, with many occasions where things could go wrong. And David asks people to remember those days. But why? That's the question which I think this psalm is raising. Why should we remember God's past help? Why should we remember God's past help? And in this psalm, we do have two answers, two reasons why we should remember God's past help. So let me take you to these two points of my sermon. So, first of all, we should remember God's past help because remembering God's past help fuels our present praise. In other words, when we remember how God helped us in the past, that injects life and energy and desire and joy in our praise. Anytime when we spend time remembering how God has helped us, that fuels our praise, our gratitude toward God. Now, look at verse 8. Praise be to the Lord, or praise be to our God, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Verse 8, praise be to the Lord. Now, when we read the book of Psalms and we are invited or encouraged or challenged or called to praise God, the structure of the psalm usually it's praise God because he is faithful. Yeah? First it's a call and then you have the reason. Okay? Praise God because he is good, or his mercy endures forever. So that's the structure usually. First it's the call to praise God and then reasons are given to us why to do it. Now, we have a different approach. It's what I call a reverse technique. In the beginning, the reasons are given to us. The memories of how God helped us and how he changed our lives in those moments. And now, after we traveled through those memories, after we remembered, now our hearts are at the point when they just naturally praise God for that. So, sometimes when you feel like you don't want to praise God, where your heart doesn't feel any gratitude for what God has done in our lives or in your life, a good thing is to remember God's help in the past, because that fuels our praise. Thinking of the times when God was good to us makes us praise, sing, recognize that in prayers and in songs of worship. You know, I feel sorry sometimes for the worship leaders. I see many churches, and like you, I watch maybe different services here and there. But I see sometimes worship leaders somehow trying to make people sing. And they will start and they will say, come and sing. We gather together to sing. And then by the half of the song, because the church doesn't sing how they would like, they say, and now I would like you to sing, and come along, sing. By the end of the song, when the church really didn't sing as they expect, they will say again, and now it's your turn, sing. And they try, and I understand their desire. But the thing is that I can ask you to sing as much as I like, and you may not worship God. But if you spend a little bit of time remembering what God has done for you, remembering God's help in your life 10 years ago, 10 days ago, it's just making your heart ready to praise our God. That's how these things operate. That's the logic. And, of course, we always remember what God has done for us in Jesus Christ at the cross. And if somebody remembers that and the heart is not singing, that's a problem. So, it's like a kid who is sad. And, you know, you look to him and he's just sad. If I tell him, now start and laugh, please, laugh. He can't. But if I tell him a joke, if I tell him a funny story from my life, he may start to laugh. It's the same with us. If I just tell you, praise God, that may not work. But if we remember how God has helped us in the past, then praise be to the Lord is just natural. It's just coming. So I like to do in sermons what I call practical advice. You are parents here and grandparents here. A good thing to do is tell your kids, tell your grandkids the stories of your life and how God helped you. For many of the for the young generation, for them, it seems that always it was the same. Plenty of food, cars, vacations, houses, homes, lots of entertainment, and of course clothing and all that. But you know that it wasn't always the same. And it's a story of grace. It's a story of God's help. Tell that story. Talk to your kids. Tell them how God helped you when you bought your house, when you started your education, when you registered for college, when you, whatever, when you were in army and fought for these countries. Tell the stories, because that injects gratitude in the heart of the young generation. Tell the stories of those moments when all things in your life could go wrong, but God was there. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare, and that's because God was there. So why should we remember God's past help? My first answer is because remembering God's past help fuels, injects joy, life, energy in our praise. And that's how praise functions. It's not that we just call each other to praise God, but we remember what God has done for us. So praise be our God for what he has done. Amen. There is a nice song which I like, and the song says, we will, do you know the song? We will remember. We will remember the work of your hands. And then the song says, and we will stop and give you praise. That's exactly what all it's about. But sometimes it's good to stay in the past, to remember, but we cannot live only in the past. I mean, if right now we will open the service and tell stories of how God helped us, we'll have a story from here, a story from there, and people will join, and we'll have stories of how God worked in our life. The feeling of that, it's good. I am sure we could then just sing a song of praise and the church will just sing it. But living in the past, it's not an option, because, as I say, when the church is done, we have to face the real life again. So it's good to remember what God has done in the past for us, but still we have to face tomorrow. The fights of this life, the fight with the temptations, with the sin, the struggles, the challenges, the needs, the problems we all face are there. And when we open the door and we go out, we face the challenges of this real life. So why should we remember God's past help? Not only because this is filling our praise and our present praise, but because remembering God's past help, we get confidence for our future. We renew our confidence for tomorrow, for the future. When we remember what God has done for us in the past, we gain a new confidence. We renew our confidence in what God will do for us in future. And this is how the psalm ends. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So what David is doing, he takes people through memories, then they praise God. At the end, they have a renewed confidence in God's help. And the church and the people of God over the years said, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker and the of the heaven and earth. So they say, they don't say our help was in the name of the Lord. They say our help is in the name of the Lord. So that's present and future. Based on what God did, they knew they can face whatever comes in the days ahead. This is like in our families. In fact, a mother can say to her son, I am sure you can trust your father. He will come along. He will help. Because this is what he has done all your and all his life. Based on what he has done in past, you can be sure that he will help in the future. I can say about my wife that she will stay and support me and help in the ministry, and whatever comes, she will be at my side. I can say that for future because I know how she did it in the past. Based on that, I can say that she will do the same in the future. Now, if we can say that about we as people, then we can say that even more about our God. And the life, it's not easy. Although you have the resources here in the United States more than any country, still, future, it's not something which we hold in our hands. We are fragile. Although you have different resources than most of the people in this world, nobody controls the life. We still have that fear of how things can develop in future. But with God, we have confidence. So I'm not sure, I don't know exactly what you face. But you can count on God's help. The same God who created the world, who shaped the world, the same God who made the heavens and the earth, what we see and what we don't see, the God who created what we understand and what we don't understand, what we even don't know that actually exists somewhere. That God is our helper. I mean, coming from a, I would say, small and not very strong country, I kind of know what means to have someone strong coming along you. I mean, if we are going to fight a war with Russia, you know, they are close to us, and let's say Bangladesh comes along us to help us, that's nothing. But if United States comes, if U.S. military, and we have actually U.S. military in the country, and they come alongside, if they send their F-13s and all the machines you have, that's a different story. It's a different game. It's the same when we read, our help is in the name of the Lord. The name means there the character of God, who he is, and all what he has done through the years for us. So face the future with this renewed confidence that God is our help. And he has not failed us in the past. He will not fail us in the future. Sometimes we need to take a break from the busyness of life and remember. Just remember. It does good to our souls to stay in a quiet place for a few moments and remember God's past help. Will you spend with me like 2-3 minutes remembering some of those moments? And maybe in your heart, praising God for those moments where he came alongside you and helped. So I would suggest that we can spend 2, 3, 5 minutes, you know, just remembering, praising God, and renewing our confidence in him. And then I will invite Abel to come with another song for us and praise God together.
He's been good to us through the years, so that's why I invite you to sing and acknowledge those moments where his mercy never failed us. Good.
so good with every breath that I am able. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I of the goodness of God.
Lord, we remember and we stop to say that you were good to us. And we praise you because through our life you have been faithful. So today we just want to say thank you and just bring you glory and renew our confidence in you, our helper, the maker of the earth and of the heavens. Blessed be your name. Amen.